You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hi, this is Al Richards, Uncle Al, your radio pal. Join me Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for WCNO's community calendar. Your nonprofit community calendar events should be sent to WCNO 2 weeks in advance. Our address is WCNO, 2960 Southwest Map Road, Palm City, Florida, 34990. Or email your events to WCNO at WCNO.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Because when things get good, blessings begin to come in your life. Instead of giving God the glory, instead of remembering that it was His hand, for some reason, we began to forget.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we are going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. We're going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's discussion on why God describes Himself as a jealous God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with a continuation of the message, "There is no God like me, God."
The question is, why is God a jealous God? That word jealous in Hebrew is only of God. We're going to speak about a specific dynamic about God that is strictly reserved to Him. And I'm going to make a difference, help you make the distinction between sinful jealousy and righteous jealousy. To let you know that all jealousy is not sin, especially one that comes from God. So the answer is important. In order to understand, well, what did God mean in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, that He is a jealous God? And what did God mean in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, what did He mean when He said, "Thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord thy God, whose name is jealous," is a jealous God? Pastor, can you help us out with that? The question is the utilization. How do you use the word jealous? What is the context of that word jealous? How is it being employed in the text? How is it being used? We use the word jealous, or we use jealousy one way. God has a different way. The answer, it goes back, it's different than how we use the word. We're not, God is not saying He's sinful, like the kind of sinful jealousy that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Write that down for homework. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. No, when God says He's envious, or when God used the word, it's not that God is jealous because we have something that He needs. Rather, God is jealous when someone, or when we give things that supposed to belong to Him, what belongs to God. The issue is that what rightly belongs to God, He's jealous over that with a godly jealousy. When you give something, you give someone or something worship, something of someone significance, something of someone authority, God says His authority and His righteousness, His glory is for Him. So I am not to practice worshiping something else, loving something else, giving something more attention than God, because those things belong to God. Let me explain. The people in the context was bowing down and making idols. worshiping those idols, serving those idols, allowing those idols to be the biggest influence in their life. Who enjoys the influence? Who has the right to have the influence in your life? Who has the authority to be the authority in your life, the right to have the authority in your life? God's worship, our devotion, our worship, our attention, God rightfully owns that. Did you guys know that? That belongs to God. My devotion, yes, I'm devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to my children. I'm dedicated even to the call of Jesus Christ as a pastor. But that should not eclipse, that should not undermine the devotion and the commitment I have to Almighty God. Everybody tracking with me? Those idols receiving worship that belong to God. See, it is a sin when we desire or we're envious of somebody's talents, somebody's things, or somebody's stuff, something that we want. That's sinful jealousy. Because somebody got something that you don't have. Boy, look at his instincts. And boy, he's a mover and shaker on the job. He's brilliant. He's bright. He's intelligent. He's a CEO of the company. He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. He's prominent. He got skills. And you sit there, I want his paycheck. I want his salary. I want his stuff. I want his cars. I want his clothes. And some of us, I want his wife. That's it. But the word, when we use it in the context of God, God says he is jealous because when things, your attitude and your worship belongs to me, service belongs to me alone. So let me illustrate it to you this way for application. Praise God. I've been married to this incredible lady. We just celebrated her birthday for 26 years. That's my Gloria. Let's say, for example, somebody don't be a knucklehead and begin to flirt with Gloria. First of all, that's not his right. He doesn't have a right to flirt with my wife. Not that I have to worry about it, because Gloria probably gave him a black eye. But anyway, If you are flirting with my wife, that right belongs to me. God says, so I would have a right to be jealous because her rights, her emotions, her position, everything she is not his right, it's my right. Are you tracking with me? Because if you're going to flirt with Gloria, then like they say, you cruising for a bruising. And as one guy said, it's time to knock on wood. His head. See, jealousy is a sin when it desires something that does not belong to you. God says, I'm jealous because I am the only God. I'm the only one you should worship. I'm the only one you should desire. I'm the only one you should serve. I'm the only one that you should elevate. I should have zero competition in your life. That includes moms and dads and children and jobs, etc. Paul the Apostle spelled it out this way when he talks about precisely the point about having that righteous jealousy. Write the homework down for homework. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 1. When God says, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. So, in order to protect ourselves from an idolatrous practice, I want to give you 5 action points to think about. So, in order to protect yourself from idolatry, I want you to ponder on what I call the who or the what 5 action points. The who or the what. This is how you protect yourself. Or this is how you can process and say, am I in idolatry? You see, you know there are symptoms of idolatry going on. You're putting yourself in a position where you're offering things that don't belong to something else but belong to God. What belongs to God? 5 areas.
how you think, what you think, what you trust, what you do with your time, and what you talk about. Again, what is it that I think about the most? What is always on my mind? Guess what rises to that category that should not be embraced? Everybody say worry. Uh-oh. Do you know that when with your mind, when your thoughts are not dedicated and centered on God, what is it that you are doing? You never thought that was an act of idolatry, did you? You never thought that because you've been consumed with those thoughts. It preoccupies you more than God. Did you know how you think influences how you behave? So, again, what is that I should think about, Pastor, when it comes down to protecting myself from idolatry? So, what I think about a lot. And what is it I give thanks for? What is it I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my strength, my health, my vitality. I'm thankful for God. I give thanks to Him. I think about how good He is. I think about how I got to give thanks to God. What is it that you trust? I trust my bank account. I trust my teachers. I trust man. Or do I trust God? Again, think about what God says, what rightfully belongs to Him. Your mind belongs to me. What you give thanks for, that attitude, it belongs to me. What you trust, it should be me. And what you do with your time. My time? Think about what we prioritize. What I do with my time? I got nothing wrong with fishing. I like fishing. I have nothing wrong with those who like to hunt. There's nothing wrong with that. I just picked up a golf stick. I'm still learning how to hold a golf stick. I just picked up golfing. What you do with your time, though, Pastor? What occupies all your time? It'll point us to your God. And what is that you talk about? Look, that's nothing wrong with talking about sports on occasion. But if you find yourself as a sports, Mr. Google of sports, when you're always talking about your children, please talk about your children. It's a blessing, but when that's all you talk about is your children, that's all you talk about is your possessions, it's all you talk about what's wrong with you or what's wrong with people, what is that you talk about? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth what? Speaks. So if God has a hold of me, I'm sorry, I got to talk about God. God's going to be in the conversation some way. God's got to be in the conversation at the workplace. I know, I'm talking about God. You notice what the world talk about today? Whatever what you talk about, what you communicate about, what consumes your conversation, be careful because our conversations all belong to God. Everybody got the jealousy now? So don't be trespassing, compromising, encroaching on God's rights. The things that belong to God, make sure we give them to God. Now, let's get to our text. Go back to Hosea. Go back to Hosea again. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 13. Because of their idolatry, and because God is a jealous God, God says it's time for some judgment. And in verse 3, we see what I call that judgment will spell out this way, will open up this way. You will be diminished like the dew in the morning. Diminished. I love the language. I love the imagery. All your prosperity, all your strength, financial wealth, even your health. How brief is the dew on the ground, folks? The dew that lands on the ground in the morning, does it stay there all day? It's gone. Don't let God diminish you where you lose not just resources,
But here's what I'm concerned about. Your love for God, I hope it's not like the dew on the ground. Your love for God, your service for God, I hope it's not as limited as smoke. Smoke comes and goes. There's no continuity. There is no consistency. It comes and goes. And guess why verse 3 God says, therefore there shall be like the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes, or like the weeds or the chaff or the dry weeds that blow because of the wind or smoke out of chimney. Again, he communicates, I am your God and I will be your king. You see that in verse 4. I'm your God. Verse 4. Yet I am the Lord your God from the, remember when you were in Egypt, I'm the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, capitalized letters there. Jehovah, right there. I am your God. And guess what? You will know, notice how the language, you would know that there's no other God but me. That's the thing about the atheist. That's the thing about the unbeliever. Oh, this life, there's no God. There's no God. But as soon as they step into eternity, they find out the God that they was preaching at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, that God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, God in flesh, Jesus Christ. That God was the true God, regardless of what your tradition or your people group said to you. I am the Lord your God, and there is no Savior where? Besides me. Think about the futile, the waste of the futility, the emptiness, the waste of time, effort, and resources to look to another Savior. The world is looking for a Savior. Did you guys know that what led the whole storyline for this guy named Superman? It happened at the end during the Depression. That when Wall Street crashed, stock market was in bad. The United States was in shambles economically. Crime was up all over the place. A very difficult time to live in the United States of America. Some guy began to write about a character named Superman, a visitor from another planet. I believe the boy was influenced by the Bible. Because someone did come that didn't come from planet Earth, but came from heaven. And he didn't need no S on his chest. He was introduced, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The world needs a Savior, and that Savior is not the government. That Savior is not a parent. That Savior is not give them more education, equip them, and empower them. The Savior is no other but God. You would know there is no Savior beside me. Remember, you were out there in the wilderness. You were out there in the desert. You were crying for food. I gave you manna from heaven. I gave you bread of heaven. I gave you water. I took care of you out there. And when you were in a land of great drought, I led you in the pastures, according to verse 6. According to the pastures, I filled you. As the 23rd Psalm says, he lead us beside the still waters. He restores our souls. He lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We find feeding. We find posterity and prosperity in God. According to, I fed you. I filled you till your heart was full of joy. Your heart was full with the security. Your heart was filled with peace. Your heart was filled with thanksgiving. Your heart was filled with gratitude. Then your heart got too big of yourself. What happened, Pastor? God said at the end of verse 6, what did they do according to the end of verse 6? Therefore, they forgot me. Isn't that something
not just nefarious, but something I find appalling about all of us. All of us. What I mean by that is our nature. Because when things get good, get some money in the bank, you get out of debt, health is restored, God began to restore fragmented relationships and blessings begin to come in your life. Instead of giving God the glory, instead of remembering that it was His hand, for some reason, we began to forget. We forget it was God. That's a strange aspect to me about human nature, that when times are good, we forget where the good came from. We forget where the blessings come from. And when times are bad, we're more likely to turn our hearts away from God and we say, it is your fault. You did this to me, God. Thank God for a Savior. Thank God that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Thank God that we can repent from that attitude. Thank God that by His grace, here's the problem. We forget God when we got money, and we forget God when we don't have money, because the underlying influence behind that is a word that starts with P and rhymes with ride. Pride. Can you see why God says that's why I hate it? Israel got prideful. Israel forgot about me. Israel no longer recognized that I am their provider and I'm their Savior. As a matter of fact, because we've increased in science and technological advancements here in this context we live in the 21st century, it is something how man began to think that he is the answer and science is the answer and more money is the answer, but God is the answer. Amen. Interesting, the 20th century Americans were in a season of unprecedented prosperity. Yet, you would think the churches would grow because God has blessed the United States of America. You think the churches would grow. I'm not just talking about in terms of numerical people or in terms of resources and the physical structures and the building. You would think that Christianity, you would think that faith would grow in the United States of America. But the opposite is what we experience. There's big buildings, but there's no power. There's expressions of faith, representations of faith. But don't you think if we live like we're supposed to live, church, we will impact the political picture in the United States, we will impact the media and the movies, we will impact our lives, and our marriages will not look like the world. When God get good to us, and when God fill us with blessings, let's not get full of ourselves, but be filled with an attitude of great gratitude. Be filled with humility. Check yourself at the door every time when something good happens to you. Check yourself at the door of your heart every time if there should be trouble or heartbreak should happen. You walk in humility and you thank God. And God will always be with you. He's always with you, but your relationship will not be compromised if you stay humble. So let us not forget God. Amen? Amen. So again, don't forget God. Pastor, how do we do that as we close? Well, people don't even pray over their food anymore now. Go to a restaurant. How many people are praying and saying grace before they eat? People don't thank God for the vehicle that you drive and the resource to have the money to get the gasoline to put in the vehicle. People don't bring God. Yeah, we see shallow commitments where, oh, I thank God for this Academy Award, or I thank God for this Super Bowl trophy, or I thank God. Let me ask you something, Mr. Entertainer, Mr. Professional. Well, what you're saying, do you mind if we walk with you on a daily basis to see what you're saying is legit or not? Because when you live with a life that thanks God, the world will see it. And say, I want what you want. Why is it that you're the most stable, the most solid, the most humble, the most effective, the most blessed? What is it about you, Christian? And when people start commenting on how good God is, and they watch your character, and they watch your strength, they watch you go, I know people that have this person die in the family, that person die in the family, they lost their job. I've talked with a lady the other day, and she said she lost her mom, and she lost her sister, and her best friend almost died almost in surgery. And she said, but you know what, Pastor? I thank God. Which I said to her, that unfortunately in this economy is extraordinary, because the natural response today is that when you get trials and circumstances in your life, you begin to be angry with God and you walk away from God. You don't thank God. You don't give God the glory for anything, because you have a right to be in your pain. You have a right to personalize it. I want to thank you for your genuine display of faith. What about us, church? Can we go out there and make a difference? Can we say, you know what? I'm not going to forgive God. I'm going to thank God at all times, because we say it all the time. God is good, and all the time God is, what's that whole thing we say?
Good.
And all the time?
God is good.
I hope they got your heart today. I hope you understand this whole thing about the jealousy of God. Don't die. Don't be separated from God. Always remember, it's because of him, as Paul said, it's because of you that we have our whole being. It's because of you that we're even alive. It's because of you that we even exist. It's because of you that I even have clothes on. It's because of you I got a house to live in. It's because of you I can face tomorrow with victory. It's all because of you, God. Amen.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, There Is No God Like Me, God. In today's message, Pastor Bernard provided us with four practical ways to evaluate if we are engaged in idolatry. They are, number one, what do you think about? Are you consumed with worry or faith? Whom or what influences how you think? Number two, for what do you give thanks? Are you thankful for material things, or are you thankful for the promises of God? Number three, whom or what do you trust? Do you trust in man or in God? And number four, what do you talk about? Do you speak of the Lord and his goodness in your life? If God is not the priority in each of these areas, you may be engaged in idolatry. The good news is that you can restore a right relationship with God through repentance. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.